I'm reading God's word this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Amen. Thank you, Judy, so much. Praise God. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you out, as Pastor Les said, on Labor Day weekend. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I don't have to make lunches. Not that I ever did make lunches, but all of my kids have moved on from high school to other things. So one of our children, our son, has moved to Vancouver, so you can keep him in prayer. He's living on his own. Well, he's living with a roommate, but it's going to be a whole new experience. By the way, if you do have youth and you're a parent, Tuesday night, 8:30, I'm asking all parents to gather that have youth. We're going to have a meeting, and I just want to kind of talk with you about where we're going and some of the things that we want to do. Well, we are starting a new series here in September, and we're calling it Back to Basics. Back to Basics, and we're going to go through some very basic stuff when it comes to our faith and examining how important those are as we are Christ followers. But I was thinking this morning, it's good once in a while to do some self-examination, right? Don't you think that's a good idea? You know, I'm thinking it's good every once in a while to go into the washroom. Well, it's good to go to the washroom, but to go and look in the mirror and take a look at yourself. I actually held up my gorgeous mirror here this morning, and I said to someone, do you want to see the most beautiful person in this room? Here, take a look. You see them? Yeah, there they are. There they are. The most beautiful. Anyway, I thought it was funny. But if you take a look in the mirror, and you look at yourself, and you're thinking, what kind of changes could you make when you look at yourself? Well, my wife dressed me pretty good this morning. Eh? Yeah? 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 Looks pretty good. I could change. I could change and move this to here. That would be helpful. My belly to my muscles. I could probably do some changes with the hair. I'm thinking some extensions. What do you think? Yeah, that would work. Yeah, that would work. But I think we could all say there's probably one or two changes we could make. Now, I don't want to be morbid, but imagine for just a minute. This is your last day on the planet. You know that tomorrow Jesus is coming back, okay? I'm wondering what kind of changes would you make today? What would you do today differently than you usually do on other days? I'm thinking, I could be wrong, but you're probably not going to be watching Netflix all afternoon, right? There probably are some things that you're going to do very, very differently, and I think that's something we need to ask ourselves, not from the perspective of leaving this planet tomorrow, but are there changes that we need to make, and what would we do differently if this was our last day? You can learn a lot from a person that knows they have very little time left. And you know, it's interesting because you can learn a lot from Jesus on those last few hours that he had upon this planet before he was crucified. And as you can see, or as it was said this morning, we're going to talk about and we're going to go through what is called communion. And I'm going to explain that a little bit here this morning. But I really want us to take a look at those last few hours that Jesus was on this planet before he was crucified. And it's interesting because if you take a look at what is happening there, him and his boys, his 12 guys were up in the room, upper room. They were up there. They were celebrating. And I can't pronounce this very well, but they were celebrating the Seder, which is a Jewish Passover. And as they were sitting there, the boys are well fed, they're fed up, they're laying back, they're reclining at the table. And Jesus says to them in Luke chapter 22, he says, you have no idea how much I look forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I entered my times of suffering. This is from the Message. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat together in the kingdom of God. He's saying to them, guys, I want to have one more intimate moment with you, because here's the thing. Tomorrow it's going to be really different. Things are going to change, so I want to take a little bit of time with you, and I want to be open. I want to talk to you about some stuff, and I want to do something with you here to represent what's going to happen. And what I want us to do here this morning, folks, is I want us to walk through a little bit of what Jesus was talking about there, but also to take an examination of our own life and how we can apply the verse that Judy read. Thank you, Judy, for reading this morning. Look at and how we can apply that to our life here this morning. So I'm just going to open in prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you that Jesus gave it all, as the song said. And that, God, because of his sacrifice, that we are able to have this relationship with you here this morning. God, as we take time to look through this portion of Scripture, as we take time to look at these different elements of Jesus' relationship with us, God, would you enrich us here this morning? Would you help us to see once again what you've done through Christ, and that all honor and glory would be unto you in your name. Amen. So getting back to the basics starts by getting back to the cross and back to what was said here through Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's first of all, it talks about really looking back. It's really all about looking back when we take a look at the Scripture. Now, we love to remember people that have passed on before us. I certainly do. But I'm not one that likes to remember the actual occasion of their death. My aunt, and you remember I talked about this before, my aunt was here on a Sunday a number of months ago, and she was here worshiping with us on a Sunday morning with my parents, and Monday night she went home to be with Jesus. And I don't really like to think so much about her death. I like to think about her. I remember lots of good stuff about Aunt Hertha. I remember how when we were younger, my cousin and I, we would go together with her because we have birthdays that are relatively close, and we go together with her, and we would get the birthday dinner of our choice. Hallelujah. And then the cards. Come on, you've got aunts or grandparents or something like that. They send you a card, and they don't have to write much in it because you don't care what they wrote. You care about that other piece of paper they wrote in there. You know what I'm talking about? And the number they put on it. The more zeros, the better, before the period. So she would give us that, and she would, you know, I remember as a kid spending time with her and sleeping over at her place. I remember when I was a teenager and it's totally okay. Everybody does it, okay? Everybody does it. I remember sometimes burping or belching, okay? And I did it in front of her occasionally. And she always had this line. And she would always say, look at me, and she would say, excuse me, ladies, I'm a pig. And I remember those wonderful times. Those are good times. Those are good times. I don't like to remember the day of her death. I don't like to remember how it made me feel. I don't like to look at the picture my brother sent me of her in the hospital room. But Jesus said, I want you to remember not me, just me, but I want you to remember my death. I want you to remember how I died. And here's what I'm going to do, is that you remember this. I want to give you a few object lessons. I want to give you a few illustrations, he says, to kind of show you what that whole situation is all about. He says, first of all, I want you to remember my body. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, on the night he was betrayed, it says he took bread, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Bread. Why bread? I mean, you could say logically, well, they were celebrating the Passover and meal, and of course there was bread. But Jesus said back in John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. See, you need this stuff, okay? Maybe some of you guys don't eat bread, you eat other things, but we need it to sustain us, don't we? Physically, you're not going to make it if you don't eat, right? Some of us eat a little bit more than we should, but you're not going to make it if you don't eat. And see, here's the thing. You're not going to make it spiritually unless you take time with the bread of life. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Why? Because he says, I am the one that can sustain you. I am the one that will pull you through some of those difficult situations. When you're hungry spiritually, I can fill you. But he says, guess what? As the bread is broken, so will I be broken, he says. So I will be broken upon the cross. I will be scourged. I will be beaten. My flesh will be torn apart. I will be nailed to the cross. Why? Because he loves you. Because he took my punishment and your punishment. He was broken for us so that we could have a relationship with God. So he says, hey, listen, take a look at the bread. He says, and take it. He said, eat it. Because he says, as bread fills you up physically, let me fill you up spiritually. And folks, I want you to, this morning, I'm going to actually ask you to move around. You actually have to get out of your seat at some point in time. I know that's going to be tough. It's very different, but you can do it. I have faith in you. I have confidence you can do this. And for those that are in chairs, we will get people to move you around. No problem. But when you come to this table and when you come to the bread, can I ask you to do something here this morning a little bit different? I did wash my hands. They're clean. Can you break off a piece and remember how Jesus was broken for you? And there's instructions on what to do there. But remember the bread. It's an illustration of what Jesus did for us. He says, remember my body. He says, remember my blood. The second object lesson that he has is a cup that was celebrated on that Passover. It's one of four cups. I talked about this before. He said in verse 25 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the same way, he took the cup and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. He says, look, this cup, this wine, this grape juice, because we're Pentecostal, this grape juice represents the blood that was shed for you. And it was one of four cups. The first cup that was drunk at that time, the Passover meal, was called the cup of sanctification. And that meant basically when they celebrated Passover way back in Egypt, the Jewish people, God was saying, listen, I set you apart. I've called you. You are mine. And as you drink, remember who you belong to, what you belong to. You are my child. And so they drank of that first cup. And remember, you notice I don't have anything in here because it would be all over my shirt. Right, but the first cup was a cup of sanctification. The second cup was a cup of deliverance, or a cup where they would remember the fact that, yes, they were in bondage for 400 plus years. And God says, hey, listen, guess what? I'm going to pull you out of that bondage. I see the pain. I see what you're going through. I'm going to bring you out. The third cup was a cup of redemption, or the cup of deliverance. And that's the cup that Jesus drank on that day in that upper room. And he's saying to us, hey, guess what? I'm going to redeem you. Redeem you means I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to take you back to be part of my kingdom. God wants to have that relationship with you. And I want you to remember that. And as you go to that table today, and there's instructions there, as you drink of it, remember God has taken you and has called you to be part of his family. The fourth cup was an interesting cup that Jesus most likely did not drink. It was the cup of hope, or the cup of restoration, meaning that someday See, back in the Old Testament, they knew that God was going to restore the nation and bring them together. But God is saying, someday, someday I'm going to take you from this planet and I'm going to restore you to a new place in the heavenly realms. And I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. And God says, saying, listen, remember the blood that was shed, because we drink this cup, not just in remembrance of the Passover, but we drink it remembering that Jesus shed his blood so that we, see, there's nothing you can do to get free from sin. You can crawl up into the church on your hands and knees. You can do all the stuff possible, but it's never gonna get you. You can never do enough. You can't personally do enough. It's what Jesus did for you that brings you freedom from sin. And that's what the cup is all about. So really what it's about here this morning is about looking back about Jesus. But secondly, it's also looking ahead. Verse 26 is, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. It starts with, proclamation starts with praising God. Praising God. You proclaiming the Lord, proclaiming what he has done for you, proclaiming how he has been there for you and how he has helped you through some difficult times and how he has blessed you. Now, let me tell you something. A few weeks ago, and you heard this a few times, and I'm going to just milk this because I like talking about it. A few weeks ago, I was with my gorgeous wife, and we were out in Powell River, and we had a great time out there, and especially had a great time on that little canoe of mine on the ocean. I was jigging, Walter. I was jigging out there on the ocean with a little jig. And when I landed this, you can go to the slide because it's beautiful. Let's just take a moment of quietness and look at this wonderful picture. Yeah. You can clap. That's good. You're allowed to clap. It's a great-looking fish. When I landed this thing, I can tell you one thing. The things that were coming out of my mouth were just glorifying God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. If you would have seen me, you would have thought I was like a little kid or something, because I was so excited. Do you praise God in those good times and even in not those good times? Is your mouth full of praise? Do you let people know around you what God has done for you? Proclaim the praise of your God and King. Matt Redman wrote a song that we sing here once in a while. It's called 10,000 Reasons. You know the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. You don't remember it? 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Could you come up with, think about this, could you come up with 10,000 reasons to praise God, to thank God? Now, I'm not going to give you 10,000 reasons because we'll be here for a little while, and I want to move on, and you've got to get home. But let me give you 25 reasons real quick why we should be praising God and why we should be thankful right now, today. And listen, I tell you what, if you can't think of a reason to be thankful, jot these down because they're good. They're not mine. They're good. But one of the things, let's start with number one. Let's praise God for life. Huh? You're alive today. Hallelujah. I don't have to do your funeral. Hallelujah. You're here. And yet, you should be thanking and praising God for it. Praise God for faith, that God has given you faith and God has verified your faith in him through different ways. Praise God for your family. Praise him for your church family. Praise him for friends. Praise him for food. Praise him for water. Praise him for forgiveness. Praise him for grace. Grace is that God gives us what we do not deserve. Praise him for mercy, that God does not give us what I do deserve. Right? We all deserve punishment, but God showed mercy and didn't give it to us. Praise him for the hope we have. Not wishful thinking, but living hope. We know God will be there for us. Praise him for love, God's unconditional love for us. That's number 12. Praise him for trials. How many of you wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for trials? Hallelujah. You know, if it wouldn't be for the difficulties and the challenges in our lives, we would never grow. We need those times, those difficult times. Praise him for the Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth. I like that. That's not what it means, but I like that acronym for Bible. Praise him for laughter. I love laughing. If you haven't laughed in a while, go read a comic book or something. I don't know, but we should be laughing. That should be something that we should be praising God for. Praise Him for freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom, that you can be here today and we don't have to watch out those doors to make sure that nobody comes in and shuts us down. Praise Him for the beauty of creation. Seriously, folks, have you seen it out there? Our summer? Like, thank you, Jesus. We were at Harrison, and I went for a little bit of a walk, and I looked back, and the sun was setting over there, and I was looking this way, and I'm like, wow, we live in an incredibly beautiful, beautiful province. Praise God for creation. Praise Him for modern conveniences. Listen, we've done a lot of camping through the summer, and I'm thankful for flush toilets. Seriously, have you ever gone to a campsite and it's been like 35 degrees outside and you walk and you're like, and you gotta go really quick because you're gonna die. And thank Jesus for modern conveniences, right? Thank God for health. We are all here, and maybe we have some issues we're facing, but we are blessed with health. Thank God for modern medicine. Thank Him for music. Thank you, gang, for leading us in worship here this morning. Thank God for His ongoing provisions. He's provided for you, and you're looking mighty fine. Every one of us, He's provided clothing and what we need, and we can thank God for that. Thank Him for His incredible power. Thank Him for His ever presence, as He's always there. Thank Him for Jesus. There's so much we can praise God for. Folks, Psalm chapter 34, verse 1 says this: I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly, constantly speak His praises. And see, here's the thing. If you had 10,000 things to praise God for, you would be speaking praises all day long. But take some time to praise Him. In the back, as you make your way around the church, in the very back, right in front of Ron there is a table, and there's a Scrabble board, and there's a number of little letters. By the way, I have to thank Lisa Mitchell. She's helped me with some of this stuff. You remember Lisa Mitchell? This looks like Lisa Mitchell, and thank Lisa for doing that. Give her a call and say thank you, Lisa. But in the back, there's a Scrabble board, and what I want you to do is write out a word that expresses your thanks, or a word that when you think of God, this is what you think of. Just write it out. There's some instructions there. So praise God. Proclaiming means to praise God. And it also means, secondly, proclamation, to express God, to share God with others. It says here, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Folks, people need Jesus. Folks, people need Jesus. And the way they're going to hear about Jesus is when we open our mouths. And in some way, in some capacity, we share the love of Jesus with people around us, however that is. Now, I want you to know something. You can't depend upon the experts to share Jesus with people around you. It's not going to be Pastor Les, who is definitely an expert, or your board members, or anyone else. It's got to be you in some way to share the love of Jesus. And that starts simply by thinking of that one person or two or ten that needs Jesus in your life. And can I ask you to do something as you're making your way around the church today? At the back, you'll see a board, and it's got a map on it, and that's been torn apart. Because we live in a torn world. Underneath that map, there are some sticky notes. Can you write down the name of some people or a person that you will be committed to pray for? And take some time to pray for them this morning. And then ask God, God, give me an opportunity to somehow to build a bridge to them. People need Jesus. They need you to proclaim Him to them in some capacity. It's also looking ahead is all about praise, proclamation, but it's also about expectation. It says, we do this until He comes. See, here's a little bit of truth for you folks. Here's something that is a very big reality. Jesus will return. People may have been saying that for a long time. And you may be thinking, okay, sure, God, when? He will return. And here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You know this scripture, verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself, what? Will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and in the dead of Christ, what? Will. Let's focus on that. Will rise first. After that, we are still alive and are left, what? Will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will, what? Did you notice there's a word in there that I'm trying to emphasize a little bit? Christ will come back. He will come back. And we don't know exactly when that is, but we can trust that he will return. I was talking to Matt this last week, and he was telling me a story about a pastor that he was listening to. And the pastor was doing a funeral for a rather wealthy individual. And somebody came up to the pastor and said to the pastor, Pastor, how much did the deceased actually leave behind? The pastor looked at the deceased and said, all of it. He took nothing with them. There is no hearses that are dragging U-Hauls. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? It doesn't happen. We leave it all behind. So we have to be looking ahead, folks. We have to be looking towards that day when Christ will come back. So are you looking ahead? Are you truly looking ahead with anticipation? Are you finding strength in him today? It's about looking ahead. But thirdly, it's about looking within. It says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. To eat the bread in an unworthy manner means that we come to this time, to this table, and we're like, it's irrelevant. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. I remember a number of years ago, Michelle and I, we were at a church, and they were doing communion. Communion is what we're doing here, the celebration. It's called communion, or the Lord's Supper. And I remember they handed out the little cups, and they were handing them out, and there was a bunch of little kids in there, and the kids were lifting up the cups and cheering each other. And I thought, maybe cute, but you're missing the point. The point is, this is about remembering what Jesus did for us. So we have to look deep within and say, God, why are we doing this? Are we doing this to remember what Jesus did for us? Or are we doing it because it's just tradition? Are we doing this and remembering you and remembering what you did for us because we want our lives pure? Or are we just doing it to be a show for someone else? Folks, let me just stress something here. Our time today, when we come into this place and we say, God, help me to examine my life, means that we need to look if there are sins in there that we need to confess to God. Sins in there that we try to bury them, kind of, Lord, I'll deal with everything else, but I want to keep this one. God says, you got to get rid of it all. You got to confess this all. And can I encourage you? This is not about you looking to your friend, or not so much a friend, on the other side of the church and saying, I sure hope they're listening to this because I know they got sins. They better be confessing them today. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to be watching. Well, I know you're not thinking that, but if you are thinking about it, then you better be confessing because I think you're the one that needs to get that right. We need to examine ourselves, not others. If you are here today, and maybe you have issues with someone, or there's something in your life you need to make right, what I've done is I've set up a few stations here. One of the stations is a shredder. And you know, I'm a firm believer that God takes our sins and he removes them if we ask him to. Can I get you to take a piece of paper? You don't have to show this to anybody. Just show it to you and Jesus, okay? And then I want you to write that thing that you need God to help you with. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe there's something that you just need to get right. Can I get you to write it down on the piece of paper and pray about it? And then I need you to put it in the shredder. Now, I'm hoping the shredder works, because sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. If it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that your sin is so bad God won't forgive it, okay? There are two slots. Try the one in the back. But put it in the shredder, and in a way of saying to God, God, I know you take my sins and you completely cleanse me from them. If there are people in your life that you're having a hard time forgiving, or you've got issues with, at the very back of the room, there's a little three things of sand. Would you write their name in the sand and say, God, I just, you know the situation, or you know the individual, and then just rub it out. Don't rub, you're not rubbing out the person, okay? But you're rubbing out that issue and saying, God, in the same way, I want this issue just to be gone. Folks, I'm a firm believer in doing things like this, because I think as we do the act and walk through the act, it helps us to understand that God, in the same way that we are shredding things or we are rubbing things out, God can do the same thing. We need to look within. A man ought to examine himself, a woman ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine, I love what the message says, examine your motives, test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. How is your heart? Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe your heart's going through some challenges right now. In the back, that corner there, I have some hearts that we cut out. Write down some of the things that maybe has challenged you. There's instructions there. And just follow the instructions that are there. But I believe God can meet us when we look within. Lastly, we have to look around. Verse 33 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that you may meet together, it may not result in judgment. So here's what's going on in that early time. They would get together for a big potluck, okay? They called it a love feast. They get together for this potluck, and they all come together. They'd all bring food, and they all eat, and then they would do this, what is called communion. They would do this after the potluck. So what happened was that there would be wealthy people in the church, and there would be very poor people in the church. And there would be people that liked to hang out around each other, and there were people that didn't like each other. The typical church, unfortunately. Not like ours, because ours is perfect. So what happened was that people that liked each other, they kind of hung together. They became kind of cliques, and they all kind of sat together, and yeah, you're not allowed here, and we'll eat together here, right? And they avoided others. There were people that were wealthy. They would bring lots of food, and they would eat well. Well, other people that didn't have much, they didn't take much, and they would go away hungry. And God says, hey, this, you know what? I'm not okay with that. Can I give you some church potluck ethics? You ready? Here we go, because we're going to have one in a little while. Not today, but in a while. Here's some ethics. You get a plate, and when you go to the get your food, and you see, and then there's some beautiful food there, and you're like, I want one of this and three of that and 12 of that, and before you know it, you got a pile yay high, okay? Now, here's the thing. There's probably about 100 people behind you, okay? And they probably would like a little taste, I'm thinking. And when it comes to them, all of a sudden, there's nothing left. Can I just encourage you? You can always go back the second time. You know what frustrates me is, and I'm not picking on anybody here, okay? But what frustrates me at church potlucks, and I've seen it, where the food is piled high, and then 3/4 of half of it goes in the garbage because they can't eat it. They piled it too high. In my German background, I personally think that's a sin, but that's my thoughts on that. But this is what's happened here. And Paul said, man, it's not about you. Think about others. Look around you. Begin to understand what everybody else is going on, even with the simple things as eating. Be willing to think of others around you. There was a story that I read a little while back about about a young man that was at a church. It was a Sunday school, sort of a games day, a Sunday school picnic. And they're doing different games, and one of the games that they were doing is toss the eggs. You remember those games where you step back and you try to catch the egg, right? So there was a number of children there, and it was more of an inner city thing that was going on. And the person that had organized this games noticed that there were two kids that came from a family that were quite poor. And they're watching with fascination as these eggs are passed back and forth. And the kids went up to the organizer and said, "Do you think it's okay that when you're done, that maybe we could have some of the eggs that are left over?" And the woman thought, these kids probably didn't even have money for eggs. And she was wise enough to shut the game down and take the eggs and give them to the children so that they could have something to eat. The reason I tell you that story, it's the little things. Where we can look beyond ourselves and see the needs of others that God honors. So I want us to remember the cross today. And I'm going to call the worship team up here at this time. And as you want, and you're going to, please do get up because they're going to sing. We're going to have the prayer team up here. They're going to be here to pray for you. But I'm asking you to participate and to actually walk around the church. There are six stations up front. There are six stations in the back. There is the first station way back in the corner by Eileen back there. There's a bunch of blankets that we brought along. And I want to encourage you, wrap yourself up in a blanket for a minute or so. And imagine God just wrapping his arms around you and saying, "Hey, you're worth it. See, I sent Jesus to die on the cross because you're worth it." Spend some time there. The next station is there's ribbons there. And there's information on what to do and how, and look at the different type of ribbons and tie a ribbon on the strings out there. The next station is the broken world, praying for someone. There's a sand one. There's this one with the broken heart. Here's the one with the sin. That write it out, put it in the shredder. We'll have our prayer team up here to pray for you. Whatever your needs are, they'll be here to pray for you. When you come to the cross, pick up a rock. See, and don't throw it. Pick up a rock, and I think there are people here that are carrying burdens, and they may be more than you can handle. That's you. Let this be a representation of that. Come to the cross and just drop it at the foot of the cross, and imagine you dropping that burden at Jesus' feet. The bread is self-explanatory. Over here, we have the cup, fairly self-explanatory. Over here, there's some string. I encourage you to grab a piece of string. And I encourage you, see, I'm a firm believer that if you wanna hang on to rope, you gotta tie a knot in it, or you're gonna slip off, right? You know, this rope swings. Think about the things in your life you can hold on to, the promises God has made in your life. And why don't you take some time to, as you think about it, tie a knot in your string and say, "God, this is a promise I want to hold on to that'll keep me from slipping. Here's another promise." Can we take some time to go around and do this? And you don't all have to go to one station, but can we do that? Father, I thank you that your word is very practical. And Lord, I thank you that you are incredibly kind and loving to us. And as we remember what Jesus did for us here today, and as we think about the things that we need to hang on to, those things that we need to let go of, Father, make this next part of the service a real powerful reality to every one of us. So God, we commit this time to you now.